So Daniel chapter number 1, and we're going to give a little bit of a background here. Taking my watch off and putting it right here, so we'll be out right on time. So if you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to put it on mute and take it out of your hands, so we're focused on God's Word this morning, that would be a blessing. And if you're sitting by someone you're tempted to talk to, maybe just ask the Lord to help you and focus on the Bible and the message today. The book of Daniel is one of the greatest prophetical books in the Old Testament. It forecasts the future. In Christian colleges, when they teach the book of Daniel, they always call the class Daniel and Revelation. They put them together. In fact, God's name is mentioned in Daniel. One of the only places it's mentioned this way, he's called the Ancient of Days, because our God has always been Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity, three persons, one God. Explain it, I can't. I was going down a street recently, door to door, inviting people to church. Someone says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm the pastor inviting people to church." And they said, "Where's everybody else?" I said, "Four of us are out right now." He said, "I only see one." I said, "Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and me." So it's four. And so this book takes place during a time of judgment. And the question is asked throughout the book. Here's what it is. What is real promotion? Almost anyone that's ever had a job has heard that word. How do you get a promotion? Usually we think of a promotion as someone that gets a title, more money, more responsibility. In many of your cases, it's just more responsibility. No more money and no title. But God is the one that promotes. He says promotion comes neither from the east or the west or the south. So there's just one direction, north, and that's where heaven is. God is the one that promotes. But guess what? Here's how he promotes. He lets us go through a storm or the fire. And then we have the respect and influence of many. That's how God looks at promotion. Money comes and goes. Titles come and go. Influence lasts for all eternity. Let's pray, and then we'll read some of this passage here. Father, bless the brief time we have. Thank you for the giving spirit, the sweet spirit, people back that's been out of town, people back that's been ill. We pray that you'll just meet with us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. One statement, then we'll read the passage. God may be judging a nation, but he can still bless individuals. So Daniel is a story of Israel, God's people being judged. Much like I think America is God's people, and we are now being judged. God removed his hand from Israel's safety and allowed wicked King Nebuchadnezzar to conquer them. We see in verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So what he did to Jerusalem, he just took his troops and surrounded the city, and he cut off all their supplies. How long could you live in your house if your house was surrounded by troops and you couldn't go buy anything and no one could bring you anything? How much food do you have in your house right now? That you could, some of you, years. I mean, if you're a teenager, you got, boys especially, it's stashed under your bed. I mean, there's food everywhere. But they simply just waited it out till their food ran out. They started eating the animals and eating and eating and dying and starving. That was Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah, the king of the city, or the mayor, whatever you want to call him, governor, tried to escape through the side of a wall. Nebuchadnezzar had him captured, brought him in front of him, set judgment against him, and killed his two sons in front of his eyes, then blinded Zedekiah. So that would be the last memory he would ever have, his sons being killed. Nebuchadnezzar's the one, when he got angry at people, the Bible says he cut people in pieces. Sometimes he would hang them on their own house, on their own house post. He was wicked. He was cruel. He was evil. In the Bible, he's a symbol of the devil. And so he comes against Jerusalem. Finally, he conquers the city and he starts taking captives. First, he takes these young people, these that were raised in a political family who were going to be raised up to be the governors and mayors and judges. He takes them, and that was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He takes them into Babylon, 600 miles away. The Bible says in chapter 1, we're not going to read it all, just trying to give you a filler. He changes their names. Is that not like the devil? He likes to take our young people and change them, change what they've been taught. It says he wanted to give them the Babylon knowledge, a different education. He changes their names. He changes their food. He changes their drink. He changes, quote, their religion. He wants them to worship idols like he does. So here's these four boys, and hundreds and thousands were taken. But God, in this book of Daniel, only lists four by name. Daniel, his name means God is my judge. What helped Daniel make it and turn out for God? I believe because Daniel was constantly reminded, I'll be judged for how I live. I won't be judged how everybody else lives, but I will be judged by God one day on what I do and what I say and where I go and how I behave, how I use this body he's given me. So there's Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So those four are mentioned throughout the book of Daniel. So we see here, he ends up taking them into captivity. Verse number 8 of Daniel, 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. World famous verse there. So somehow Daniel makes a decision. He says, now they're changing my name to Belteshazzar. They're changing the eating habit. We Jews don't eat pork. We Jews don't eat these things. We Jews don't drink these drinks and food offered to idols. We don't do this. So Daniel makes a decision in his heart. He says, I'm not going to do that. I personally think he made that decision on the journey from Jerusalem to Babylon. He's chained. He's walking barefoot through the sands. I think he said, I better make some decisions because my parents have now been killed. My temple is no more. I don't have a pastor or a priest. I have no one to tell me what to do. I'm on my own. And now I'm in a heathen country, a heathen city. And Daniel did some purposing in his heart. He said, I'm making some decisions in advance because when I get there, it's too late. And let me encourage you. The more decisions you make in advance, the better your decision process will be. The time to decide if you're going to smoke cigarettes and get cancer is not when someone hands you one when you're in a crowd. You better decide long before that. And you're going to have to learn the N-O word, no. The time to decide you're not going to smoke drugs is long before at a party someone says, try this pill, try this joint, smoke this, snort this up your nose, inject this. You better make a decision long before that. Before you're offered pornography to look at. Before you're told a dirty joke. Before you're offered your first Bud Light. Do they have Bud Lights anymore? Or are they? Someone said they burned them all. How do you burn liquid? I don't know. And so just all these different things. So you better look at all the temptations in life and learn early on. No! So Daniel purposed in his heart. Now we go to the chapter I wanted to focus on. Chapter 3, because Daniel learned to say no and he made some wise decisions, his three buddies did too. It didn't say they purposed in their heart, Daniel did. So guess what? You're influencing somebody. And I want to say to all the firstborn here today, how many would say you're the firstborn in your family? First one that was born? Okay. How many of you would say you're the firstborn lady or woman or female in your family? Firstborn male or young man, your family, you have a power that others don't. You have a power on your siblings. They look up to you. You lead them the wrong path, and all your siblings are following you down the wrong path. You end up on drugs, you'll probably lead all your siblings on drugs. You become a rebel in the home, probably all the siblings will rebel as well. You have a power that your parents don't even have. There's something about the firstborn. And that's why God in the Bible says, give me the firstborn. If I can get the firstborn living for God, he will have an influence on the others. This has nothing to do with the message. I have no idea where we're at on this. So now we're in chapter number 3. Look, we already skipped 2. We didn't have time. So these names are remembered. Thousands were taken captive. Only these 4 are remembered. We see in chapter number 3 here. Chapter 3. Now King Nebuchadnezzar, it's just a few years. He's changed her name. He's tried to change her eating habit. Now he sets up an image. Verse 3:1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. And he talks about it's 90 feet tall. It's 9 feet wide. And he keeps saying the king had set up. The king had set up. So somehow in the plain of Dura, King Nebuchadnezzar made this great big old idol. It doesn't say, but I imagine it's an idol of him. Don't you imagine? You know, something like this, you know, flexing his muscles or something. I don't know. But he said, now the band's going to play. Now, I don't know if it's Taylor Swift concert or who was singing at this. I don't know who it was. But he said, the band's going to play. And when all these musical instruments play, that's your cue. C-U-E. Everyone bows down and worships the image. And so the band played. Now, remember, it was thousands of Jewish young men that were taken captive. Everyone bows. See, music is always related to worship. When the music played, they all worshiped Nebuchadnezzar, that idol. The music played, and 3 of them didn't bow. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow. I wonder if they thought back and said, well, Daniel purposed in his heart, maybe we're supposed to take a stand. They stood when others bowed. They had a backbone. Someone said in the middle of the road, there's only yellow lines and dead skunks. It takes something special to have a backbone in a wicked world like ours to stand for right. You want to be popular? Do right. Everyone will notice. You want to be popular at your public school this year? Carry your Bible. Live for Christ. Everyone will know who you are the first hour of school. And so they end up not bowing. The king is now upset. They have stood out. They have defiled the king's command. He calls them in. And the scripture says, he says, now look, I'm going to give you another chance, fellas. He said, now if it be ready that at the time you hear the sound of all these instruments, you bow down, but if not, I'll throw you into a burning fiery furnace. In modern vernacular, you get the pizza oven. We will throw you in the pizza oven and close the door, and there will be not enough of you to put in the box. And I love what they said here. What a bold statement. Daniel 3 and verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, capital G, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, I just want to remind you right now, every one of us has a fire. Fire is always a symbol of trials in life. When God somehow allows the heat to get turned up where we're uncomfortable, and when we look at that fire and it's fearful, sometimes the fire is failing health. Sometimes it's a divorce. Sometimes it's homelessness. Sometimes it's loss of a job. Sometimes it's your reputation has been tarnished. Sometimes it's a broken heart. It's a betrayal. Sometimes it's a rejected relationship. Sometimes it's grief. It's a death. Someone we hold dear has died. And all of a sudden, we feel like, I'm in the fire. And the Christian life is like that. There's calm and then the storm. Then the storm ends and then it's calm again. It's all these cycles. No one lives in the fire their whole life. It's a time of fire, then a time of coolness. And then the fires come back. It's just a part of life. So he threatens them, and they said, our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to keep us from being thrown in the fire. And I want to say this. Your God is the same God that they had, and our God is big enough to make it so you never go in the fire. But I love what they said. But if not, if he decides not to keep us from the fire, and we go into the fire, he says, we will not bow down and worship your idol. In Greek, here's what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. Or maybe that's Hebrew. I don't know what that is. I love what he said. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if it be not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. Now think. Thousands of their compadres were bowing. Don't you think they said, look, man, just bow down. We know you still love God. Just bow down. You're going to get thrown in the pizza oven. Just look, look. It's not hurting us. Bow down. Stop causing waves. Yeah. We're not bowing down. Amen. It's idolatry. Well, the king gets mad. You know the story. It's an old children's story, but it's in the Bible. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. His form and visage changed toward them. He said, heat up the pizza oven 7 times hotter. Throw them into the burning fiery furnace. The Bible says it was so hot when they opened the door. The soldiers, when they threw them in, it was so hot they burned up and died. So I want to speak on this subject for a few moments that we have left. He's still in the fire. We have these Old Testament appearances of Jesus Christ. You do know, Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem. That's when he took on our earthly body. Jesus has always been. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he is eternal. He says, I created the heavens and the earth. I was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he became flesh. He's always been. So a few times you see Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. He shows up to Abraham. He shows up here in this story. He shows up. He wrestles Jacob. He's always been. And we see here, he makes an appearance, and I have to hurry. Notice what it says. It says in verse number 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I think they screamed all the way in. I do not think they had the peace that passeth all understanding. I don't think they said, Shadrach, Meshach, it's going to be all right. You watch. God's going to do a miracle. You ever been waiting on a miracle and it didn't come? God's going to do a miracle. We'll be fine. I think they all screamed bloody murder like little girls all the way in there. I think once they landed inside, they were still screaming for half an hour. And then finally they said, shut up. We're not burning. I just love it. And it says, and they fell down. Bound, verse 23, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast in 3 men? 1, 2, 3, I can count. Bound into the midst of the fire. They answered and said unto him, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wicked King Nebuchadnezzar didn't watch television that night. He watched the 3 Hebrews burn. I mean, that was his entertainment. Sit down a while. Let's just watch the guys burn. They threw him in, and all of a sudden he looks up, and he says, I see 4. And the fourth looks like the Son of Man or the Son of God. Hey, it didn't just look like him. It was him. Yeah. It was him. What I want to say for a few moments is this. Jesus is always in the fiery furnace. He's always in the fire. By the way, going on the cross, taking our hell fire for us, paying our sins, rising from the dead. He knows what the furnace is about. It's called the furnace of affliction in Exodus. He says, I've been there. I know what pain's about. I know what fear's about. And I'll be here waiting when you get thrown in. What's that mean? You're not alone this morning. Those of you that are going through the fires, and some people don't know it's not a public fire. It's not like a lot of people knew about this, but your furnace maybe it's a private.
You know about the doctor. You know about the broken heart. You know about family issues. And it's not a public thing. It hadn't been posted on media yet. But Jesus says, I'm here. You're not alone. I read recently that the Romans, when they went into battle, they would go, the soldiers would go in battle in twos. And they would fight back to back. So no one could attack you and you not see them coming. They fought back to back. Do you know what word they used for those soldiers when they fought back to back? You ready? They called them paraclete. That's the same word as the Holy Spirit. It means comforter. Here's what God says. I got your back. You're in the fire, but I got your back. You're not alone. I'm not going to let my child go through this alone. You got me, and you're not alone. He's in the fire. The Bible said they got thrown in, and it said, and they were loose. The fire loosened some things that have you tied up. It said they were walking. The fire helps you grow and make progress in your Christian life. Hate to tell you, folks, smooth waters never made a skilled mariner. No fire, no growth. You find the greatest Christians in this room, if there was a way to find out, it'll be those who've been through the most stuff. And I'm going to say this, God doesn't bring you to things, He brings you through things. They were loosed and walking. It's the fire where you discover if people are real Christians or not. It was in the fire that those three stood and got thrown in together. And it was like, look at this. Don't you think they were pretty close after the fire? Hey, remember, we went through the fire. We got thrown in the furnace. It was Jesus there with them. Well, what's your points, Pastor? Who knows if we have any points today? That's extra. The fire purifies. The fire makes you see Him. It's when others watch you. Imagine every one of us in this room knows someone that's not a Christian. Some of us have been praying every day for them to be converted and accept Christ. Maybe you've even said this, Lord, what's it going to take? I don't want my loved one to go to hell. Lord, save them. Whatever it takes. God says, okay, thanks for telling me that. Now I got to throw you in the fire. You say, why me? Because that's when they're going to watch you to see if what you have is real. You can't fake it in the fire. It's either real or it's not. And now they're watching. I love what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, come out of the fire. I would have had such an attitude. I'd have said, you come in and get us. Isn't it interesting? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out, Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. He said, from now on, there is no word going to be spoken against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because no God can deliver from the fire like them. Plus, I'm promoting them and making them one of the presidents of our nation. When you go through the fire, God promotes you. I was out inviting people to church about 2 weeks ago in Fairfield. Met a teenager. Just a few of you would know who this is. I'm not going to give the name. He was at someone's house, and I'd never seen him. I said, so is this where you live? He said, no. I said, is this where your friends live? Mm-hmm. I said, so where's your mom and dad? Never knew my dad. Where's your mom? Passed away last year. I said, really? So where do you live? He says, I live here with some friends. A teenager. No parents. Someone's given him a place to stay. A teenager going through the fire. Going through the fire. And no one would understand unless they've been through that. Sometimes you go through the fire when you're very young. Sometimes when you're a little bit older and you say, "Woo, last fire, we're done." God says, "Oh, no, you're not. I'm sorry to disappoint you." Here's our great church member, Brother Dewey Brown, 88, 89. Just 2 weeks ago, fell, broke his leg in four places. He didn't plan that, but God allowed it. He's in the fire. His brother Bob Quinn, singing in the choir, helping cook for his class. Him and Kathleen, faithful as they can be, love God with all their heart. Family just came to visit them. Chest pain. Aneurysm in the artery. Helicopter ride. Emergency surgery. Broke open all the ribs. Open heart surgery. Blood clots. On top of that, now they discover he had some strokes. Got a leg that's not working. Stanford University. Then the fire. How come? God's going to promote them. They've got something to say. They're going to have more influence. Here's Brother Steve. Someone put it this way. I said, "Brother Steve's in the hospital too." And someone on the phone just said, "But that's Brother Steve." It's like nothing happens to Brother Steve. He don't get sick. There it was just 6 days ago, some strokes. Hospitalized. Blood clot in the brain. Was able to eat his first meal yesterday. And all these illnesses, we don't know how far back they're going to get, how close to normal they're going to get. We don't know any of these, but I know this. Their families are going through the fire. And God says this, "But Judy, I'm here with you. Jackie, I'm here with you. Leslie, I'm here with you. Kathleen's kids, hey, I'm right here with you. Mom and Dad's in the fire, but you're not alone." Now I want to say to every young person that's struggling, your family's not perfect, it's a mess, I mean, it's chaos. You're not alone. You got a Savior that loves you and He cares about you and He understands how you feel and you're going to come out better. You'll be promoted. You got something to say. Sometimes people say, "Man, I want to work with young people. I've got a lot to say." When you've been through a lot of fire, you probably have a lot to say. I want to say this. It's when hard cases get saved. Done with this? A man named John Bunyan was jailed because he would not take a license from the state to preach. They put him in prison. They said, "You stop preaching, we'll let you out." He said, "I'm not going to stop." It was during those 6 years he wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Sold more copies than any other book beside the Bible in his day. And it had the gospel in it. And many, many, many have come to Christ through that. No fire, no book. Think of Cassie Bernal. She's kind of an old name. Many would not know her now. She was one of the Christians that were killed during the Columbine massacre when the demon-possessed student boys decided to kill their classmates and then end their lives. She carried her Bible to school. She had been involved in the occult and witchcraft and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. She got saved. As a 17-year-old student, she carried her Bible to school and people knew she was a Christian. They hunted her down with their high-powered weapons. Students were hiding under desks. They came up to her desk and they said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes!" And the next face she saw was Jesus Christ. 75,000 people came to her funeral. and heard the gospel. When you go through the fire, hard cases get saved. I'll close with this. I don't know if I've ever told this story. Years ago, when I was on staff in Louisiana, I was out door to door in a little trailer park, knocked on the door, and real tall fella answered the door. I mean, for real, 6'6", that's kind of tall. He answered the door, and he said, come on in. We talked, and I started sharing the gospel, and I'm sitting on the couch, and back then, drugs were illegal. It was Louisiana. I don't even know what they were thinking. Drugs were illegal. I mean, you got jail. I mean, if you had pot, anything like that, I mean, it was real strict. Some of you remember those days. And I remember sitting on his couch, and I see this marijuana plant in his bathroom. I mean, he's growing it. I didn't know anybody like that. He said, I'd like to get saved. His name was Rod. And I said, would you like to kneel here by the table? He said, I would. When he knelt by the coffee table to give his heart to Christ, he bumped the table, and all these marijuana joints fell on the ground. And I just kind of looked up and goes, I'm so embarrassed. We're going to be arrested. You know, he got saved. He came to church. Brought his girlfriend. She got saved. You know, sometimes God sends you in a fire. Because really, it's not even about you. He's trying to get some people saved that won't pay attention unless they see someone that the fire can't burn. And they came out of the fire. It says not a hair of their head was singed. No smell of smoke on their clothing. And they said, wow. They wondered, what do you have that we don't have? Tell you what they had. A friend in the furnace. Their friend in the furnace. I close with this. The king said, come out, fellas. Only three came out. You say, how come? The fourth one stayed in. So he'd be ready for the next time. For the next time. We got people in the fire in our church here today. I know you are. You got people, you're scared you're about to get thrown in. He is able. He is sufficient. He's all you need. You'll make it. Keep your eyes on him. Do right. Don't back down. And you'll get the blessing. And you'll be promoted. Someone may even come up and say, okay, so what is it you have I don't have? Let's talk. And really, that's what you want.